A lot of focus lately on project management in the federal government, especially the information technology project management, and especially those projects that are on the GAO's high-risk list. How you get your project off the list, or how you get your project from ever being on the list in the first place, the subject of a lot of discussion and sometimes consternation in government. Office of Management and Budget expected to make a big announcement about project management on Friday. And my guest to talk about that subject today is Andrew Gravett, a professor at the National Defense University. Andy, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to do it. You teach, you brought me some syllabi from two classes that you teach at NDU, but talk kind of more broadly about what people learn when they come to your department at the National Defense University.
Well, my department's a system and technology department, and that department is made up of two certificates. One is IT project management, and the other is enterprise architecture. And so we cover the gambit on enterprise architecture. We actually have 12 courses that make up that certificate. But in the IT project management certificate, there's actually three classes that you take. These classes are at the graduate level. They can be transferred to several universities around the country, you know, to go on to master's and doctoral degrees.
We were talking before we went on the air that as I read these syllabi that you brought and the recommended attendance segment, these must be fascinating classes to be a part of. The Strategic Information Technology Acquisition syllabus says this course is appropriate for middle to senior information technology professionals and project leaders seeking a greater understanding of the IT acquisition process, and so on and so forth. I mean, these are people who have been in government for a long time and who know a lot about how to get things done, who want to be even smarter than they already are now, it sounds like.
Yep. Well, at a minimum, to get into the college, you have to be an O4 or a GS-12. Mm-hmm. And so you come with a lot of experience. The classes being at the graduate level are seminar, you know, or work as seminars. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of feedback from the students. And we're not only DOD, a lot of people think that about the National Defense University, but the iCollege actually has a breadth. We have, you know, all the different agencies of government are there. We've got some people in uniform and DOD folks. Mm-hmm. And so when they all come together to discuss their various issues, it can make for quite an interesting class.
Let's talk a little bit about the process of certifying somebody to do project management for IT there. What are some of the ongoing discussions and issues that are associated with managing IT projects?
Well, one of the things we talk a lot about in the class, so we actually have six classes that make up the certificate. And the first one is the IT project management class, which is it's very straightforward project management class, but we take, you know, the traditional project management role and talk about how IT is different than other project management. Mm-hmm. Then also along those lines with the IT, we also have to deal with the government, which is also entertains a whole nother, wealth of issues that have to be addressed, you know, during the course.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go through the syllabus of that class, because I think it's pretty interesting stuff. And it's funny because, as I mentioned at the beginning, I talked about the high risk list, and it seems like the process that you go through here is, if it's not intended to be the process that somebody should go through to keep theirs off the list, it certainly is a good guide to do exactly that. First lesson talks about just kind of an overview of the process, and that's pretty self-evident. Second lesson, IT project integration and communications management planning. And a couple people that I've had, a couple guests that I've had on the show have said that the communications management, making sure everybody knows what the end result is, what the successful project will look like, is often where a lot of that's the sword that a lot of people fall on when it comes to these projects.
Yes. And you'll see if you read a classic project management book, communications will be someplace around chapter 12, mm-hmm. you know, out of 14. It's stuffed in the back. And as you noticed right off the bat, that's actually our first lesson mm-hmm. on Monday morning after we do the overview, because we think it is so critical. I mean, figure out who your stakeholders are, figure out how to communicate with those stakeholders, and what they need to know to mm-hmm. actually do the job is essential. And so that's how it got there.
Yeah. The area that people usually say is problematic is the communication between the end user, the person who's actually going to use the technology, and the acquisition team, and then also the IT staff that's going to implement the project. But those are the three stakeholders on the agency side. Mm-hmm. And just amongst those three, things don't always go very well. And then when you have the acquisition person trying to convey that to the contractor, then you just add another element of surprise potentially.
Yeah, and that, so as you can see, the next steps are initiating the project, which is coming up with what the project's going to be, because that's another problem where we have a big issue is defining the project. We actually go forward with lots of projects when we're not really sure what they're supposed to be. They might be, you know, a human resources, you know, portal. But what does that mean? You know, it means a lot of things to a lot of people, but everybody decides they want one.
Right.
So then the project moves forward. So that comes right before we get to that scope management you just mentioned, which is the requirements and working with those stakeholders to find out what it is that needs to be built and getting that down, getting a baseline of what those requirements are.
Let's hold here for a minute, because when you think about requirements or talk about them, the first thing I think of is requirements creep. And getting people to focus at this stage on, we wanted to do this, and here's the key part, this is all we want it to do. We don't want to go back and add a bunch of stuff later on that's going to get us way off the rails.
Yep, and I would love to hear that in a project that the people in charge wanted to stay with the original intent of the project. One of the rules in project management, the rules of thumb, is that if you have 10% change of requirements, it will never be completed because that's how much time will take just to keep going with that 10% that's constantly changing. And so if you can't pin it down at the beginning, you do have a project that's in trouble.
And yet we have a ton of projects where that, if you go back and trace them, that's exactly what's happened. Why is that so tempting when we so seldom, if ever, see it work? It seems to me that you would get a little bit of sense of history after a while.
Well, and I'd like to, what I like to compare it to is something that's a lot easier. I like taking these things back to an easier analogy. And mine is building a house. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever built a house, or you know anybody who's ever had a house built, it always keeps, you know, the budget keeps going through the roof. There's always another bedroom. There's always another bath. And so the same thing happens with software. While we're doing this new, as I was saying before, a human resource portal, there's other things we can do with it. Let's keep adding them in because we've got it started. Let's not start over again from scratch.
I just wonder.
So it's just the enthusiasm of the moment.
I know the moment can be quite enticing, but it just would seem to me it would be great if somebody would say, you know what? Let's just stick with what we've got, because this is where we start to go off the rails.
Yep. And that's one of the major things we teach in this class. If we can get people to understand that and be able to push back, because a lot of times the people in the organizations that want to grow these projects are very high up. I mean, they're their bosses or bosses' bosses.
Right.
And when they come in, you know, what can they do about it to hold the line?
And it's a whole different story when it's your boss telling you, I wanted to also do X after you're already 10% into the project.
And you brought up the users.
Yeah.
And the users always want more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like the homeowner always wants a bigger house.
Maybe that's why the end users get shut out sometimes, because the IT people and the acquisition people get tired of the changes to it. My guest is Andy Gravitt from the National Defense University on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Let's talk about the time management element. It's the next lesson on this list, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rubbs.
Join host Jane Norris for the new Fed Central program on Wednesday, November 17th at 1 p.m. She will be joined by David McClure, Associate Administrator, Citizen Services and Innovation Technologies at the General Services Administration, and Ira Goldstein, Director with Deloitte's Federal Government Services and former Chief Operations Officer at GAO, as they discuss how open government is working for federal agencies. Don't miss Deloitte's Fed Central program on Wednesday, November 17th at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200, providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/MidAtlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Canada's confirming that 950 soldiers and support staff will remain in Afghanistan in a training role after Canada's combat mission ends next year. Foreign Minister Lawrence Cannon said they'll be stationed in the Kabul area and will stay until 2014. The pledge of support is going to help plug a critical shortage of trainers for NATO's mission to bolster Afghan security forces. The mission is not designed to involve combat. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Hey, all right. It's the Geico Gecko here, and I've got a special message for all you government employees listening out there. So all you non-government people can go and make yourself a sandwich or whatever. Okay, are they gone? Right, so here's the big news. As a government employee, you could qualify for a federal employee discount on car insurance. And that's on top of Geico's already low rates. In other words, my friend, you could be the or more, and you could save 15% or more. And you'd be in good company, too. On average, federal employees who are GEICO customers stay GEICO customers for 12 years or more. And that's either because they like geckos or they like saving money. Well, maybe a little of both.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Hey everyone, this is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, then I've got some good news for you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com and see how much you could save.
This fall, the OMB will launch a customer service dashboard to measure the effectiveness of each agency's public outreach. But open government is a two-way street in a time of budget constraints. How have agencies leveraged the ideas of citizens to eliminate waste and increase productivity? Join AFSCEA Bethesda and a panel including GSA's Bev Godwin and the DOD's Jack Holt on December 14th for a breakfast discussion at the Bethesda North Marriott. For more information and to register, visit AFSCEABethesda.com/DECBreakfast.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Andy Gravitt of the National Defense University. And we're talking about IT project management. Andy teaches a class in that at NDU. And we're just taking a walk through the syllabus to give you an idea of the kinds of things that are talked about in project management, some of the steps to managing successful projects. And the next one on the list here, and I'll post this later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth if that's okay with you, so people can see what's involved here. The next one is interesting. It's time management, but not from the classic perspective that somebody thinks of time management of at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll answer my emails and that kind of thing. It's more time lining and almost wargaming where your project's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yep. It's definitely keeping track of the schedule. I mean, that's a major part of management on an IT project at any time. You have people that come and go. You've got vacations happening. How do you get that code done? We IT people are notorious for burning the midnight oil, you know, calling in for pizza late at night. Mm-hmm. And so that's all going on too. But you don't want to do too much of that or you start burning out your staff. Mm-hmm. And so being able to watch that schedule and understand what you're doing to that schedule is huge. Then, as you were talking about before, you've got the requirements that are constantly changing. And a lot of times people will update a requirements document but not update the schedule. Mm-hmm. And so if that stuff isn't, you know, properly tracked, you know, you will have a problem when you get to that end date. the software won't be ready. That's the problem.
That's a big problem if you turn it on and it doesn't work. People tend to not like that. There's a lot of project management software out there. You mentioned that that you review that in this lesson. Is project management software, I'm sure, is great, but is there any substitute for just somebody really knowing what they're doing between their ears?
The tools help.
Yeah.
There's no question about it because there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things with project management is that a lot of people take it lightly. They think it's, you know, this guy who sits down at the end of the hall and watches the world go by and, you know, might have a meeting with a customer every now and then. But it's actually huge to get all of these elements in place and get them to work appropriately. So those tools help.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, if you don't understand what's going on, I've never seen a project that implemented everything in the project management body of knowledge that's put out by the Project Management Institute.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been involved in one that did it all because mm-hmm. there's so much in there.
Yeah.
And it's great stuff. But as a project manager, you have to decide which things you're going to do and which things you're going to leave out. And then you've got to know, you know, what that can cost you, that you decided to leave out that document or you're not going to watch this process as closely. But you have to do those trade-offs, and it takes a very knowledgeable project manager to be able to pull that off.
When it comes to marking these and setting these dates and so on, setting the timelines, what's the biggest mistake that people make?
I think the biggest one is not giving – there's two of them I think of right off the top. One of them is setting, you know, too optimistic an expectation for the end date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we're going to get done by the end of fiscal year, when everybody knows it's going to take 3 years.
That whoosh sound that you hear is the deadline flying by,
like,
right?
So why would you go there? But the other one I see constantly is that people don't give enough time for requirements.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that. People think that requirements, you'll just get one or two people together in a room, and you will be able to plan out this whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And that, there's a lot to requirements. So we spend a lot of time in this class and another one of our classes on requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, both of the acquisition classes we have are spent trying to come up with how you can get those requirements pinned down because it's huge. And even when you think you have them pinned down, it might take 2 or 3 months to get them signed off,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, in the federal government.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people that have to look at them.
Yeah. The focus on requirements, I think, is great because, as I said before, everybody that I've ever talked to that's sat in your seat says that that's where so many of these things get twisted around the axle. Next lesson is cost estimating and change control. And I like the phrase change control because I think eliminating it's probably not realistic. But the phrase change control sounds like you're giving the project manager tools to have some sense that there can be a limit to changes that are made as the project is in process so that the thing can't get too off base.
Yeah. Well, cost estimating, number one, is, you know, a notorious issue for project management. I mean, especially when it comes to software and IT. It's very, very difficult to estimate the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have an issue right there. And especially because what we do, you know, when we put out government contracts is we ask for a cost before we know the requirements,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think can ever be done. I think it's a dream world until you get through the requirements phase of having any idea what the cost is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk a lot about how to do that cost estimating, but then the change control has got to be something. You know, a lot of times the project manager will give that to somebody else, some kind of configuration manager or something like that. But that is huge, and you have to be right in there all the time doing the exact negotiation you were talking about. You know, when a new requirement comes in, it's going to take more time. It's
mm-hmm.
going to take more money. Well, how much? And are we going to slip the schedule? And I am amazed at how often we don't slip the schedule. I mean, okay, it's a major new requirement. You know, add this whole new functionality and still get it done by September because we still want it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we don't have any more budget. And it's like, well, that's not going to work. But too many times people accept that
yeah.
and try to get it done. They can do it.
What's usually the result of that? I imagine not good.
Late and you need to pay me anyway.
Yeah.
I need the money. Because it doesn't, like I say, we were talking about burning the midnight oil in the pizza.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can pull some stuff off. I've seen it pulled off in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough to do that with an entire project, especially some of the things we're talking about of this magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Andy Gravitt is from the National Defense University, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, talking about his course on information technology project management. Our conversation continues in just a moment. We'll be right back. NBC News Radio
Hello, I'm Mark. Chase General Motors expanding its common stock offering to $15.5 billion in response to growing investor demand. CNBC's Aaron Burnett says the price of GM stock will be set later today and will go on sale tomorrow.
We're pretty sure it's going to price us somewhere around $32.50 per share. There's 478 million shares potentially being offered. So this is on track to be the biggest IPO in American history.
Despite a growing controversy about full body scanners and enhanced pat-downs at the nation's airports, the head of the TSA says there's going to be no changes. John Pistol told a Senate panel the enhanced measures are working. China is denying accusations that it hijacked U.S. internet traffic in April. A watchdog group says traffic to several U.S. corporate and government websites were rerouted through China for about 18 minutes. More news at MSNBC.com. Mark Chase, NBC News Radio.
Good news, ladies. Ugly brown spots on your skin might feel like they're the end of the world, but they're not. You can fade those brown spots from view with Dr. Perry's Night Skin Cream. New customers can try Night Skin Free. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Try Night Skin Free. Call 1-800-509-4152. Pay only shipping and handling. One per household. Call for your free Night Skin. Call 1-800-509-4152. That's 1-800-509-4152.
I'm always looking for easy holiday entertaining ideas.
Member Tiffany Hurst on the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event.
I get to try appetizers, entrees, ooh, cheesecake.
And more. Plus, join at the event for a $10 gift card to use at the day after Thanksgiving event.
I sample, then I serve. It's a mom's job.
Look for the insert in your paper Wednesday, then visit the event November 19th to the 21st, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. Not a member? Sign up and get your bonus gift card. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Looking for high-flying excitement for your group in the heart of the nation's capital? Easily accessible by metro or by car, get the thrill of college hoops right here in Foggy Bottom. Your organization can enjoy a special discounted group rate and watch the Colonials in their quest for the Atlantic 10 Championship. For rates, dates, and more information, visit www.gwsports.com or call 202-994-6050. That's 202-994-6050.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend their plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees runs through December 13th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about their benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. That's myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare. This open season.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider with Chris Dorabeck, weekday afternoons 3 to 7.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey.
The beauty of the federal health plan has always been it doesn't discriminate because of age, sex, race, retirement status, right, unlike the private sector. So it is the best program in America for health people, and now is the open season. And also people can look at changing their optional dental and their optional vision insurance.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Andrew Gravett of the National Defense University. He is the instructor for Information Technology Project Management courses there, and we're talking about one of them, and IT project planning, quality and risk management is one of the lessons included here. What we're up to about Wednesday, you said, in this, was it a week-long?
Yeah, it's a week-long course.
Course with, it looks like 10 lessons, so one in the morning, one in the afternoon, yeah. I'm guessing.
And there's also a precursor week where mm-hmm. you come and speed before you actually come to the school for the 1 week in resident class. And then we have 3 weeks to of synergy, working together with people online, mm-hmm. and then finishing your final paper. So that's for the e-resident. course.
Okay.
It takes 12 weeks in a DL.
Okay.
A distance learning setting.
All right. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll have that linked up in some other resources at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, so you can get a sense of what all this looks like put together. But this lesson, the next lesson here is, as I mentioned, is talking about quality and risk management, and the risk management element of it especially can be very challenging because it fits with some of the things that we've talked about already. If you don't know what your requirements are or they change as you're going along, you don't, you can't do the risk management or plan for it properly either. So it sounds like this lesson gives the student a chance to understand that too.
Yep. And so both of these things are important, and they're both, you know, quite different. Quality, you could believe your software is done and turn it into, you know, testing, and then all of a sudden look at it and they can't use it. I mean, it happens all the time where the actual developers, you know, can use the software just fine. When the users see it, it just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting the quality in place, the testing in place as you go along is vital to that. And having a proper quality group, usually an independent testing team, you know, to be involved in it, because, you know, as a coder myself, I know we're very good at thinking things look great, you know, until somebody else runs them. So that's an important part of it. Now, on the risk management side, there are so many different risks with IT. I mean, we've got the risks of, you know, when you use Java to build your software, what happens if your two top Java guys quit? Mm-hmm. You've got 10 software people, two of them walk away. Where can you hire two more? You know, where are you going to get those people that are qualified in these things?
Yeah.
Because there's not that many of them. It's not like they're, you know, even in today's job market, it's still difficult to get some of these top quality IT people. You need to pull these things together.
Mm-hmm.
So you have risks like that. You also have risks where, you know, the technology is getting better, you know, is improving so quickly that if you have a 3-year project, by the time you get done that 3-year project, you're not even running that hardware anymore.
That's right.
And so, you know, keeping track of those risks are huge. And then, like you say, the scope creep has got to be the number one risk on top of everybody's chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just waiting for the day when somebody's going to come in and go, I have a new idea.
Yeah. The words that make people slap their heads. Oh, not another one.
I've got a permanent bruise.
Exactly. Project monitoring and controlling is the next lesson. And just the idea of knowing what you're doing is what it sounds like. How to look at where you stand at any given time and know that you're where you're supposed to be sounds like what you're getting at this point.
Yeah, and what we were talking about earlier, number one, the tools help a lot with this. But number two, a lot of times the, you know, the idea with the project manager is somebody who gets a project kicked off and then takes a lot of long lunches. And sometimes that is what a project manager does.
Uh-huh.
You know, once you get it going, you feel really good about it. And so you sit back, you really don't have a lot of work to do on the coding side. You know, you might be in those requirements meetings if you're really dedicated. But what is it you have to do? You know, besides wait for the big award at the end, you know, project success.
That's right.
And so no real project manager would ever go there, but I've seen plenty of unreal ones in my time. And so the, you know, watching those costs, watching that schedule, you know, watching for the scope creep, and keeping a pulse on the users is just such a huge part of that job, you know, and so you've got to keep that up.
Status reporting, earn value, and cost control are the next lesson. And you talk about earn value project management, and in specific, the term uses and misuses of earn value project management in an IT context caught my eye.
Yep.
What is it that gets people kind of messed up when it comes to the EVPM?
Well, we do a lot with EVM. So we do a lot of classes on it. As a matter of fact, we're having a workshop in December, if anybody wants to take a look on our website. Just for that, on how to use EVM for IT projects, because EVM is really good when you can break down your project into, you know, if you're building a building, it's easy to break it down into the first floor, the second floor, the third floor, and pay as those floors go on. But what do you do when you're developing a million lines of software? You know, do you break it up, divide by a million, and give out the money as the code's done? Well, do you wait till the testing's done? You know, how do you work this?
Mm-hmm.
And so often we put together the EVM plan. You put the plan in place before you have those breakdowns, before you know how you're really going to monitor the project. And so we usually do that early. Before the requirements are done, we have our whole EVM plan in place. Well, that's a huge problem because, you know, how are we going to ever monitor it? How's it ever going to match up with what we're doing? And then the other one is when to rebaseline.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden that new big requirement comes in and it's going to change everything. And now you have to re-baseline that. Well, people don't want to re-baseline their EVM plan. That's
right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
So now your EVM has nothing to do with what you're actually doing on the project. So these are some of the issues, and they're fascinating issues, especially when you're dealing with IT and software.
Mm-hmm. The next lesson is international project management and project manager professional responsibility. And this one kind of strikes me as referring back to what you were talking about before, about sometimes the project manager deciding everything's great and I'm just going to kind of check out and let momentum take its course and get this done for me.
Yeah, and this is a really interesting one. This is a Friday morning time. The students might come in a little, lethargic there on Friday. And so we do international project management at this point and explain things like how things work in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so the instructor who teaches this most of the time actually did, several projects over in the Middle East, laying fiber, et cetera. It's a fantastic, course. But there's so much going on over there. They have their own quality rules
mm-hmm.
that have nothing to do with anything we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have this inspector and that inspector and this other inspector. And so it's a fascinating thing to have to deal with. And then you have, it even goes in things like currency exchange. You bid a fixed price contract and the currency fluctuates 20%. Well, I guess your day is done. So it's a pretty neat, section.
What do people not understand about their personal role as a project manager before they come into this class that this lesson might help them to understand better?
I think in general, the thing that I see a lot with project managers is they don't realize the buck stops there.
Mm-hmm.
They all know it a little bit, but they don't really believe it, that when all these things are happening to them, they kind of blow in the wind and kind of let them go.
Uh-huh.
And in reality, they're really in charge of that project.
Yeah.
And so you have to take control of this. This is your thing. This is the next 2 years of your life. This is your job. And so often, they do things like accept requirements changes or, not worry about the fact that the budget's not going to work out because I'm sure, more money's going to come this way.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really it is getting them to understand, that this is really you.
Mm-hmm.
And, and if you ever stop doubting, if you ever start doubting it's you, you've got my phone number. Call me and I'll tell you.
I'll remind you.
We have a lot of reach back to the university after you've taken our courses.
It's interesting that you say that you frame it that way, because that's what I was thinking about before you even said it, that if this thing blows up in my hands, my fingers will get blown off, not somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the naked truth of it.
Yep. And there's no way around that.
Yeah.
And I've seen, lots of people who think there is a way around it,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing. You're the one.
I'm having an epiphany now because I'm thinking of a project manager telling me at one time that it's hard for people to say, I can't do it. And because that's the reality of it is as the project manager, it's you, it's your name attached to it.
Yep.
And if something can or can't happen, if you say, yeah, we'll get it done, it's not we'll get it done, it's you'll get it done,
yeah.
and yes or no. So,
and your job is to have a successful project.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that definition is, that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And being, well-liked, having people be happy you added all their requirements to your system, when you don't have a successful project, then you failed as a project manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important note. Now, some organizations, that's all they let you have. So, you might have to go there.
Yeah.
But, we try to, get that point across.
Andy Gravitt is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I want to talk about the human resources and procurement planning lesson when we come back, because there's a lot there. And we'll talk about it when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
DC.com. Half price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half price gift certificates to Studio 355 Hair and Day Spa. Award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation.
Saki Japanese Steakhouse in Laurel, specializing in Japanese cuisine and hibachi dinners, providing exceptional customer service and a wonderful dining experience. The Grilled Jamaican Eatery, savor a taste of the tropics.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Improvised explosive devices pose a significant threat to U.S. warfighters. ITT is at the forefront of this battle, delivering technologies that help our troops stay ahead of these emerging threats. Through advanced information networks, data sharing, signal jamming, and other innovative technologies, ITT provides critical solutions to enable our troops to complete their missions and come home safely. That's just part of the innovation happening at ITT. ITT Defense and Information Solutions, doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
I'm Linda Carr, President and CEO of TMR. TMR is a small, disadvantaged, woman-owned business. We provide enterprise architecture, governance, and IT operational support to DOD and civilian agencies, including OSD, DIA, DOJ, and DHS. Our contract vehicles include GSA 8A STARS, IT-70, MOBUS, FEDSIM, Alliant, and Navy Seaport-E. For your agency's IT needs, visit TMR at TMRHQ.com or call 703-323-1700.
Ravens fans, 1500 AM Federal News Radio is your D.C. home for Ravens football. Listen to every game as the Ravens dominate the AFC North and march toward the Super Bowl.
Mr. McGahee's got a small hole inside the five. Still in the seat. Touchdown! Willis McGahee fires over the middle. It's intercepted! Ray Lewis with the pick. Flacco throws. Enzo. Hushmanzada has it! Touchdown, Ravens! The Ravens offense delivers the miracle!
This week, the Ravens take on the Carolina Panthers. Pre-game starts at 1230 on 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Andy Gravitt of National Defense University. He is the instructor for Information Technology Project Management, a class that's taught at NDU, and it's just a fascinating class. Maybe I'll come audit it next time you teach it.
Yep. Come on over.
That would be great to sit in and just the conversations that go on in this must be pretty fascinating stuff. We're up to the next to last lesson, and that's on human resources and procurement planning. Some of these projects are, although the emphasis now is to shrink them or at least chop them up into smaller pieces, some of these can go on for years and years and years. And your team is not going to look anything at the end of it like it looked at the beginning of it. And I'm not sure that's something that a whole lot of people pay attention to at the front end of a project, is it?
No. And you're absolutely right. It is good that we're getting smaller and smaller projects. That's actually one of the keys to success. And that's a great thing. But when it comes to the human resources, and that's one of the reasons, is you can only count on having these people for so long. So you start up, you gear up. Number one, sometimes that's tough to do. You think you're going to start coding with 37 developers on day one, and you have 12. Well, the second day, you're behind. You know, you've lost 25 days, mm-hmm. in that 1 minute. So, that 1 day. So, that's a huge problem. But then, like you say, sometimes lives get in the way of getting a job done. And so people will move on to other things, better jobs, other, especially if it's a really tough project. You can mm-hmm. only put in so much of that pizza time.
Yeah.
And so getting those right people. And then the other thing that we do, we always streamline the budget to have the bare number of people that you could possibly have to get done the project. Well, over 10 years, you're going to lose some people. And so you really need to one of the things we talk about this is you really need to get some extra people in for that. You know it's going to happen. It's a big risk. That's where this comes out, is it's a risk that you can lose people. You know, if you have a couple extra people on board, then the worst thing that happens is your schedule actually, you gain some time on it, as you're spending those dollars. But if you can actually get that done a little bit, you know, earlier, that's all right. But then when people leave, it's probably not going to work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we've all read The Mythical Man Month and know how that works. But over the course of a, you know, 3-4 year project, you can actually pull in that schedule by just having a few extra people.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to just go ahead and baseline that straight across and, you know, just hope they all stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, even and don't take vacations at the wrong time. We'll have a deliverable due.
You talk about the money end of it, and that's affected by the procurement process. You can get your things started right, but and especially now that we're in a time of continuing resolutions for who knows how long, the cash flow, where you're going to get your money to be able to continue, can be very uncertain, and how you plan around that kind of uncertainty can be just as uncertain.
Yep. No, and so procurement is a huge part of it. And how you deal with things like, you know, you get a bid in that says it's going to be $40 million to build something. So they approve you for $20 million and tell you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you handle that as a project manager? You know, we were talking about that earlier. That's
yeah.
a very difficult issue because the buck stops there. And so do you just go on and hope you get the other $20 million as the time goes on? Do you get some promises it's going to come in? So how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing with procurement, though, is how you're going to procure, you know, the people you need. Is it going to be – it's a huge decision whether to go fixed price or, you know, cost plus fee or awards fee. I mean, all these things come into play, and they're not easy. And I know we're pushing towards a fixed fee, you know, right now. I'm sorry, for the fixed price.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal with fixed price is if the government doesn't have the requirements locked down when you get there, the contractor's going to start raising up that, you know, those costs as that change management kicks in, as those requirements change. And so it doesn't solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, think it does. So we try to go in with our eyes wide open on, you know, how we pick that contractor.
You wrap this course up with a project. What kind of projects do you get from people at the end of this?
Yeah, well, there's two things that go on. We actually have a simulation that's done in class,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat. We actually split the group into teams and each become a project management office and try to pull off an IT project, you know, as close to on budget, on time as they can. And I actually award a winner for whoever does the best in that simulation. It's actually a fun way to spend the Friday,
mm-hmm.
but a very serious way because you have to do all of your project planning.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a really nice simulation for that. But then what we have them do is they either look at a project that's coming up and they do the project planning for it, or a project that's already passed an organization and, you know, what they could have changed about that project. So we, you know, in almost all of our classes at the iCollege, we work really hard at, having people take them out and, you know, see what's going on at their organization and try to help their organization. I think that's a, you know, a big part of what we do,
mm-hmm.
Across the board.
It sounds like a fascinating class, and we'll have some resources up about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. I want to talk about the certification process a little bit. We'll take a break and come back to wrap up our conversation. But you have, you brought me some information about, an IT project management certificate, and we'll, cover that, what it means and why it's important when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Andy Gravitt of National Defense University on In Depth with Francis Rose.
The Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
Do you know if your doctor's office has a gerontoneurological podiatrist on staff? Probably not. So what kind of look would you get from the receptionist if you asked to see a dermatological pulmonohematologist? And how long do you think you'd have to wait to see a cardioendocrinological ophthalmologist? We think probably forever. And a day. At Kaiser Permanente, our primary care doctors, specialists, nurses, and technicians all link together. And shared digital information really lets them think and work as one. That's because we understand your hip bone is not just connected to your knee bone, it's connected to the rest of you. So everyone you see needs to be connected to everyone else who cares for your health from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And why nobody's better qualified to help next time you feel a touch of sciatica bursa tendonitis. That's what makes us Kaiser Permanente, and that's how we help you live well, be well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Air Inc. Canada's confirming that 950 soldiers and support staff will remain in Afghanistan in a training role after Canada's combat mission ends next year. Foreign Minister Lawrence Cannon said they'll be stationed in the Kabul area and will stay until 2014. The pledge of support is going to help plug a critical shortage of trainers for NATO's mission to bolster Afghan security forces. The mission is not designed to involve combat. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? ARINC is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, ARINC recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Wrapping up my conversation with Andy Gravitt from the National Defense University. I appreciate your time today. It's been a great discussion. And you brought me another syllabus for another one of your classes, and I'd love to have you come back and talk about that one at some point.
I'd be glad to.
I don't want to let you get out of here without talking about certification. I know you're a big advocate of certification, and NDU has this Information Technology Project Management Certificate. Now, every time I've had somebody in this seat tell me what I ask them, what makes a good project manager? And, well, having someone that's certified, well, what certification or what's involved in that certification? And the story is always different. It's kind of like cybersecurity. Nobody agrees on what an expert is in that area. Talk about yours and why you think this is a good model for somebody to have.
Yep. So our certificate program, all of our courses are 3-credit graduate level courses that can be used at other universities. But what we have done in our IT project management certificate is that we have taken the 2210 job series from OPM for government project managers. And that's really the focus, is you've got to handle the government part and you've got to handle the IT part and then learn the basics of project management, which we've talked about is already pretty difficult, just doing the project management. So we went over today the IT project management course, which is one of these courses. It's the base course. But we have 5 other courses that help help with that. Now, one of the things is because it's government, we have 2 acquisition courses. So 1/3 of the certificate is acquisition. So software acquisition and also IT acquisition are 2 of the courses. Then we have IT project leadership, because one thing that gets left out is that a good manager is going to have to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And that's rarely in the documentation. They keep them separate. You know, you're a manager, you're a leader. Well, any good manager is going to have to lead those people to, you know, I like to call it take that hill, but in reality, it's get that software done.
That's right.
At the end of the week. So that's important. Then we do a technology portion that's critical system technologies, the latest in technologies, up-to-date classes. It's a, you know, fantastic class where we go over a lot of things that are happening today, social media, you know, robotics, different, you know, systems, the mobile and wireless, and how those can be used for your project. And then the last but not least is building the business case, because so often we go forward with these projects without knowing what the business case is. Why are we trying to do that? Because that'll feed directly back into the requirements.
Yeah.
But if we don't know the why, then, you know, where are we going to get the requirements from? How are we going to know when we're off base and we're not getting to where we need to go? And so that's what the building the business case is, and a lot of times we don't build that case.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I'd like to hear what some of the comments are that you get from people after they've taken the class. What do they take away from them, from this, and go back to their agencies and apply when they actually get back into doing these projects?
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really wonderful about this job, is that, you know, we really connect with the students, and the students stay connected with us. That's one of our, you know, key things, is to be an information hub.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, one of the things we're working at. And so I have students who come back all the time, with, you know, questions, ideas, you know. And the other thing is that most of our folks do not come and just take one certificate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of them come in here and get the IT project management certificate and then realize that their job might start looking like a CIO at some point, you know, because that's, you know, a good CIO might come from that project management office.
Right.
So it's been wonderful.
I appreciate your time today. It's great to see you. It's great to have you in here, and I will love to have you come back after the first of the year or so, and we'll talk some more about the other class that you teach and what else is going on in the world of project management.
Terrific.
Andy Gravitt is from the National Defense University, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And the class you've been hearing about this hour is Information Technology Project Management at NDU, and you can learn more about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Later this afternoon, the Dorbeck Insider is here between 3 and 7 this afternoon on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And you can catch him. You can find out, get his must-read list online at federalnewsradio.com/Dorbeck Insider. A brand new In-Depth with Francis Rose tomorrow between 1 and 3. And don't forget to, if you've not already signed up for the Affirm Breakfast at the Washington Court Hotel, find out more about that as well at federalnewsradio.com/In-Depth, and I'll tell you more about that on the Dorbeck Insider this afternoon. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.